This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Hi guys, this is Catherine from Right Along Radio. Just stepping in here at the start of the show to let you know we have made you a really, really cool t-shirt, and we hope it helps inspire you in your writing and inspire you also to proudly wear the label of being a writer. It's our Happy Writer t-shirt, and you can find it at represent.com/happywritertee. That's spelled T-E-E. Proceeds of this t-shirt sale are going to go towards helping Right Along Radio, that means Kevin and I, cover the cost of running a podcast. So we appreciate it, and we hope you really enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to Right Along Radio. I'm your host, author and writing coach, Kevin Johns.
And I'm also your host, blogger and writer, Catherine Brunel. We are on a walk, guys. We're taking this podcast on the green grassy paths of Ottawa, Canada.
So we've got our regular kind of Right Along Radio episodes, yeah. And we've got our Read Along episodes.
Yeah.
Welcome to a Walk Along Radio.
Writing challenge episode. Boom, boom.
Oh! Challenge!
I've never actually been in person when Kevin did that, and that was really loud. Let's go this way. So we're in the suburbs, and we're going to serve you up another writing challenge.
Yeah. You and I are from the suburbs.
Yeah, we're suburban. We're suburban. I've been living in the city for the past several years.
Homeless people frighten me.
Okay. I don't know what to say about that.
I lock my doors when I go to pick you up.
I loved my part of town. All right.
It's so funny. You really do, too.
I do. I loved my part of town. I didn't mind that they were dealing drugs on the street corner. It was charming.
Didn't you have a ghost in your building of, like, a murdered crack dealer or something?
No. No, but a woman who used to deal drugs lived in my apartment. And then I guess people, after she moved out, people kept showing up looking for drugs.
Okay. Well, and just throw the ghost in to make it more interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a ghost named Casper. Okay, so...
Oh my god, Catherine, I'm cramping up. You walk so quickly.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's go to that picnic table and sit down.
Okay.
I'm walking too fast for Kevin. I can't help it. It's the way I grew up. I used to have to run to catch up to my dad.
Is your dad fast walker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so today we're doing a writing challenge episode. Every month, just to recap if you don't know, every month we do a writing challenge for you guys. We actually do the challenge with you. We want you to do it with us. And so what we're going to do in today's episode is, we're going to tell you what the new challenge is for May. And two, May. And two, we're going to recap what it was like to do the last challenge. Now, Kevin, what was the last challenge? And you guys, if you still want to do the challenge, you can.
Okay, so last month we issued each other crazy genre mashups. Which I don't think that was even the original plan. We just did it. The original plan was just to write something in a genre that someone else chose for you.
Yeah.
But we were both kind of dicks about it and chose hard mashup topics for each other.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how, but I think it was better that it happened that way.
Yeah, for sure. I think that...
Here we go. Now we're at a picnic table. Because this is the, these are the suburbs.
Is that too far? No. Oh, is this how we do it?
I'm sitting on top of the picnic table.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say that the title challenge was quite appropriate this time. I struggled with this one.
Me too. Me friggin' too.
Okay, so why did you struggle?
Because I didn't know what to write. I never really imagined. I mean, yes, I had thought of the idea, but I had trouble. I just had trouble. You go. I don't have any intelligent words as to why I struggled. Oh. We know somebody who didn't struggle, who we can talk about later.
Go ahead. Definitely, yes. Do you want to cover that now or you want to get to him later? Okay.
No.
I don't know. I think it was an interesting experience in... I think generally we write what we want to write. I guess we've both worked as freelance writers to a certain extent, but not really freelance creative writers.
I've done it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, for my Kickstarter, I had to write short stories for other people.
Oh, and did they choose the topics? Okay, so was this similar to that? Did you struggle with those at all?
Those were challenging too.
Mm-hmm.
But In different ways. I mean, I think this was challenging because I didn't know where it was going or what to do with it. And that was my real challenge, because for the Kickstarter, I owed people stories, short stories. Mm-hmm. So there was a product to deliver. There was like an end point. Whereas with this, I'm like, okay, what am I writing this for? What's the point? And that's where I struggled.
It's funny, Hunter S. Thompson talks about he created this persona in his writing as this gonzo journalist who had to go do drugs all the time and do these crazy things. And he was saying at some point his brand, like his made up character, kind of became his life, and it kind of became this expectation that that was how he was going to lead his life. And I actually felt a little bit the same way here, where I was like, oh man, I was like falling behind on the challenge. I didn't really feel up for it, but I'm supposed to be like the productivity guy. I'm like always say to people, like, the real writers get down and do the work, even if they don't feel like it. And there's a couple moments where I kind of had to coach myself a bit and be like, you know, this is supposed to be what you're good at, so go do it.
Yeah. And how did you okay, wait, let's recap. People don't even know what we're talking
about.
It's
true, we should say.
What were the mashed up genres that we issued? So I gave Kevin chicklet cyberpunk.
And I gave you vampire western.
Yeah. So we were really nice to each other.
Yeah, real nice. Catherine, how did you go about it? Like, what was your first... So you've got to write a cowboy western. Like, on the episode, we both kind of came up with ideas. We seemed very confident at the time.
No, I didn't know. I came up with a story, and that's what I used. But I didn't know, like, where it was going, what would I do with it. So I think not having a purpose to the writing made me struggle, you know? Mm-hmm. Though I guess if I was somebody who wrote every day, can you have a purpose for everything you write all the time? Maybe not. So maybe I'm also like my writing muscle needs to be strengthened.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But what was your process? So if I remember correctly, you kind of had a vampire story in your back pocket.
I do.
How did you go about bringing the Western element into that?
Well, my idea was to do a prequel to that story.
Right. Which was what you did, right?
Which is exactly what I did.
Okay.
So I wrote, and it was interesting because I was writing these other elements that I don't ever use.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing that, I was incorporating elements that I always use. So I was like, well, vampires are always dudes, so I'm going to make it a girl, a woman. And so I wanted her characteristics to be the same as this other vampire story I had, which is essentially that during the day she's human and weak, and during the evening she's a vampire and immortal. And, you know, which one is the curse? Right? So I used that, but I didn't go into any depth on that point because it was a prequel, mm-hmm. right? And it was a Western somehow. So I put her in like some small town. I don't know. I don't even know if I really did the Western justice. I had her carrying a rifle.
There you go.
Stereotypes. And so she was in a small kind of, you know, one street village mm-hmm. in the middle of the whatever country Western things are. I did no research for this. And I had her approaching the blacksmith in the town. And my backstory for this was that she is a researcher. She's a vampire, but she's also a researcher. And she has been tracing Smiths all over the world, trying to find this one particular family of Smith who she can use to break the curse of humanity. Because at one point, a witch, like, did the smite, right? She smited her.
He'll do that.
And then, and so smite turns into Smith. And there's so many friggin' Smiths in the whole wide world that it's like a big tangled mess of genealogy. So I brought genealogy in.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, Catherine.
Yeah, you're getting scholarly.
You can't get off your themes, because Claire Neverending is all, like, genealogy and women and... You know, so it's really interesting that even in these odd and genres I'm not used to, I went back to what I like.
I've experienced the same thing actually through my novels, you know, where I'm for the last year. Well, on this show, actually, we talked about it. My novel in a month novel was the first book that I'd written that wasn't part of my trilogy. And I was like, I'm going to do something totally different. I went all girls instead of boys. I went present tense. And, you know, it wasn't a supernatural thing. I was like, it's going to be so different. But it's all the same stuff. It's still just like evil step-parents and, you know, all the, like, discord between teenagers and their and the adults. I don't really understand them. And all those same kind of issues. And I never even thought of myself as, like, a young adult author. I was like, I have this trilogy that happens to be a young adult thing. But then when I say I want to go do something totally different, I just go do another young adult thing. So I guess, at least for the time being, I kind of am a young adult author. And so I think there's topics and ideas and themes that we're drawn to subconsciously. Like, yeah, we can't really help it. It's how we view the world, and it's the things we're interested in. Which was maybe why this was a difficult challenge.
Chicklit Cyberlit was difficult for you?
It was, because unlike you, I did some research, because I really have not read much Chick Lit. I've seen some movies,
yeah,
Bridget Jones's Diary and Love Actually. I'm, you know, like a handful, and I've read Neuromancer, which is like the kind of classic cyberpunk, but I'm not well versed in either genres. So I just went to Wikipedia and I looked up the genres and I was like, okay, what are the key elements?
Okay, that's not deep research. I think I maybe for an instant Googled Western, but then I stopped almost immediately.
I didn't say deep research.
Okay,
I said, there's kids all across North America right now who consider going to Wikipedia deep research.
Okay.
I would have, if this was like a grade 11 English paper, I would have aced it.
Yeah, okay. Well, no. They probably would have had a deeper understanding than us.
Well,
actually, you know what? I don't know how much you researched, so what do I say?
Okay, so, I mean, what I kind of discovered was that, in general, Chick Lit is generally about kind of modern independent women trying to balance their careers with their relationships. And from my own observations, I find that generally there's kind of a good boy and a bad boy that she has to choose between.
Love triangle.
Exactly, love triangle. And there's issues of kind of consumerism. So, you know, we go out to fancy dinners and we're interested in designer clothes and this kind of culture of consumerism is kind of the stuff that girls are into.
Well, that's interesting.
According to Wikipedia.
Okay.
And then cyberpunk is this, like, revolutionary genre where they're, like, upturn the status quo. And it's supposed to be, like, the reason there's, like, punk in there is because there's actually, like, supposed to be kind of a revolutionary attitude to that genre where it's kind of about overthrowing the status quo. And
so that would be interesting. What did you do?
So, I mean, all I did was I had a girl who was like a lawyer, a successful businesswoman working for a big corporation, who has a rich doctor fiance who loves her and treats her wonderfully. Everything in her life is going great, but something feels kind of off. And then one day in yoga class, she basically, a guy from like a cyberpunk story walks into her life and disrupts everything. And she's kind of like disgusted because she lives in this like rich, you know, upper class society that's at like the center of this corporate town that the big corporation that she works for runs. And then on the outskirts of that is where all like the poor cyberpunker people are living. What's that?
Sounds great.
Well, it wasn't that great though. It was.
Do you know what you're hitting on? I know we should get onto it, but what you're hitting on is something that's always driven me drives me crazy with Chick Lit. In that it's I know this is going to make me sound like a pompous ass, but it's like men are the instigator.
Mm.
They are the point of change.
Mm-hmm.
And so you did it, and that's traditional, and that's totally, I mean, I can totally see why you did it. But it drives me crazy that the crux, especially with women's fiction, like romantic, chicklity light, the crux is the guy all the time, in a way. I mean, they're the push.
Or my understanding is having to choose between the guy and the career, right? As
right.
though you can't be like a successful businesswoman and have a happy relationship.
But, like, it's about relationships.
Mm, yeah.
Like only. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, absolutely. And I think that's what defines the genre.
So did you like what you wrote? No. Yes?
Well, this was my big challenge, actually, was that there's a nice dichotomy there, obviously, where you have a character in a story that's supposed to kind of emphasize our society's status quo. And then you have this character who's supposed to be kind of upturning that. But I think one of the reasons we tell stories is that we have something that we want to say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think the problem was, you know, I wanted the cyberpunk guy to come in and kind of awaken her from her consumerist status quo and like and tell her actually you've been living in like a matrix AI controlled by the corporation and I'm gonna wake you up to the real world where things are raw and in the end she's gonna like leave her comfortable life and go with her cyberpunk dude.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, 10-15 years ago I could have written that story no problem, but now I'm not that against, like, the status quo. If you have a husband, I have a family, I drive a van. You know, it's not necessarily a status quo that I feel like I need to overthrow in my writing. Like, my writing is generally full of rage, and I kind of do want to burn the world down, but not really from, like, a class perspective.
Yeah.
Like, I was really interested in class growing up and stuff, but now, like, that's just not where I'm at in my life. I kind of like... You know, I was joking about being afraid of Vanier, but at the same time, I do live in, like, comfortable little Canada with my townhouse and my family and my kids. And, you know, we live a very kind of traditional life. And so I didn't really feel the passion to tell this story about overthrowing that status quo. So that's what kind of made it a challenge for me, because there's the fun of playing with these genre, like, iconography, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, a story kind of has to have a heart. And I don't want to say a message, but you kind of, as an author, need to have something to say.
Do you think so?
I think so.
See, when I go into writing, I have no idea what I'm going to say.
I don't think you necessarily consciously know what you're going to say, but I think there's something propelling the need to tell that story within you, right? You have something is inspiring you to put that story down on paper, and I think... No?
No, because I'm thinking, like, when I was doing the Kickstarter rewards, right? Mm-hmm. Those weren't my stories. They had no deep meaning to me.
Mm.
But in writing them, I suppose you find the meaning. Like, I never knew at the beginning why I was writing this until I got to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're different that way. You're a planner, I'm a seeker.
No, true. But in this case, I kind of did go more of a seeker route, but I didn't really find that meaning along the way. I didn't really find that little moment that I latched onto when I was like, this story's working. This is kind of great. For whatever reason, like, there was a nice kind of setup and a nice dichotomy of the characters and stuff. But ultimately, like, it wasn't a story I felt passionate about telling.
I kind of enjoyed mine.
Good.
I was like, this has potential if I ever wanted to. It was kind of verging into erotic romance, which I don't do. So I was like, holy hot dog, Catherine, what's going on? Because vampires, I was like, I am gonna not make this vampire sexual. But then I did. I fell right into
it. You can't do it.
I couldn't not. Like, there was such an intensity between her and the blacksmith. I was like, I can make millions from this Western vampire story. And speaking of this, Kevin and I are we gonna do this? We're gonna record? We are going to record what we wrote.
Yeah, our stories.
And yeah. So we're going to record our stories if you guys want to hear them. And we're going to put them in the Write Along Radio newsletter. So if you want to get that and you're not signed up to the newsletter, head over to writealongradio.com. If it doesn't pop up, we'll put it in the show notes for this episode. So you can sign up for the newsletter.
And how will they not want to listen to it after that amazing sales pitch I just did for mine? There was no heart at the core. Join now! Get your copy!
But I offer vampire passion in times of Western...
Yeah.
I don't know.
The hint at the erotic romance. There you go. You'll have tons of people sign up.
Yeah, right. Okay, so now I want to give props to Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's.
Because
sure.
We totally appreciate that we appreciate all of you who are listening.
Yeah,
let's
but Chris
get it clear.
More.
Oh no, but Chris is, you know, he tells us he's participating.
Exactly.
And not just that, like he tweeted us asking for a genre, and I was like, okay, Chris, I know you write kids' stories, but short stories. So I wanted to throw down a challenge for Chris, mm-hmm. and I asked him to write,
fantasy world building.
Like a kid's fantasy world. That's what he had to build. And, like, he didn't just write a friggin'
short story,
or what did I write again? A prequel. He wrote, like, a damn book. Oh, sorry.
Novella.
He wrote a novella. Like, a novella.
Yeah.
So.
And not only that, he was kind of talking trash about it too on Twitter.
He was not talking trash. I didn't interpret that as trash. I interpreted it as motivation and encouragement. This is how we're different. Kevin's like, oh my God. I'm like, yay. But Chris, I made a Right Along Radio crown because I think you take the prize. Not that we don't give prizes, but I think you take it. And you definitely freaking schooled us. We admit it.
Big time.
Big time.
And no, and his trash talking did motivate me and get my button gear for sure.
Me too. You motivated us, buddy. So thank you very much.
And anyone else out there who also participated, let us know. We're giving Chris lots of props, but if you did the same, let us know. And it doesn't have to have been a novella like Chris did. If you wrote a one-page short story, you know, based on this challenge this month, let us know. We want to hear about it.
For sure. Okay, time for the next challenge. We're going to keep this one simple and hopefully motivate you to open some of those drawers with old manuscripts in them. Like, I actually mean files on your computer, because we don't, I don't know, maybe you do drawers. I don't know. Okay, writing challenge for this month. Do you want to say it, or am I going to say it?
Yeah, no,
Let's build this up for something so not...
No, I just, your comments about, like, pulling manuscripts out of drawers, I had a picture, like some Shakespearean Elizabethan desk where they're, like, writing with, like, a feather in the
quill.
Ink. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah, get your quills out. So our challenge this month is, we don't want you to start from scratch. You don't have to write in some crazy genre. We just want you to finish something that's been on hold or that you haven't reached the end of yet.
Yeah. So if there's something you kind of wished you finished, but you abandoned for whatever reason, life is busy, we get that. This month in May, spring, very inspiring time, we challenge you to go back and finish it. And we will be doing the same. Kevin, what will you be finishing?
I don't know.
Okay. I think there's two stories. I'll either be finishing my chick lit novel, which is not really chick lit, or my space opera in space. One or the other. Maybe space opera in space because I think it makes me laugh.
What is this chick lit novel?
Ages ago, I have this thing where I write 3/4 of a book and stop. So ages ago, I wrote 3/4 of a book about three young women just figuring out their lives. It's kind of like Girls, only not great, not as edgy.
Oh, like the TV show.
Yeah, but I wrote it way before and it's not as edgy. Mm-hmm. One time I was in the grocery store and I wanted to buy a melon. And I looked at the price of the melon and it was so expensive. And I was like, I can't afford that. A damn melon. And in my mind, for some reason, thinking I couldn't afford that melon made me feel like my teeth were breaking. Isn't that weird? And so I had this weird association. And I was like, what if someone always felt like their teeth were breaking every time, you know, they were disappointed with their life? They couldn't eat. They couldn't, like, they would suffer. It was like a mental thing. Anyways, this was in the time where I was writing the depressing feminist literature. And so I started writing this book. And it turned out there was three friends. And they're all in their own story. And it's just, you know, the main character, the protagonist, she has this problem. Like, her fiancé left her. She is completely lost. She's not doing her degree. I'm talking too long about this. Point being, there's a book that's not done.
That's so exciting. That's awesome. I've never heard this is like episode 50 now almost, and I've never heard you talk about this book, so that's exciting.
I know. I got to one point, and I was like, I don't know what happens next, and I stopped.
You gotta plan first!
I don't plan, Stan.
Well, what I always recommend for people struggling with their fourth act is try to bring things full circle. So look at what happens in your first act, and then look at how your characters have been changed by the events of the book. And so revisit that first act only now through the new eyes of how the world has changed or how your character has been changed through the events of the story.
Well, that's interesting. If I decide to pull that one out, I'll have to use that because I'm not really sure where it's going. Space opera in space can pretty much go anywhere because it's so stupid. So I actually think I'll finish that one first.
Just if you want an example of that circularity approach, The Page Turners, my novel, opens with Nate getting beat up by a bully in a hallway.
Right.
And the book ends with Nate having a conflict with that same bully in the same hallway, only with a very different result because Nate's been changed by the events of the book. So that's just an example of that advice in action.
So good. So guys, if you're going to be finishing something, let us know. Okay, writing challenge. Pull something out. Finish it. Finish it. Tweet us as you finish it. Till next time, keep on writing.
#WriteAlongRadio or walk along.
Or writing challenge. How do we wrap up after that?
Heroin, yes. Smoking, no.
Kevin's words, not Catherine's. Okay.